have to do that that way. So today we're going to talk about keeping your focus, right? And we'll get into a big part of that. But I don't know about you, but I struggle with keeping my focus. Anybody agree? Keeping your focus. Doesn't matter what it is, keeping your focus. Carol has started the kids' church thing, and my desire is that we help her keep her focus in that. But what about us individually? It's hard to keep your focus. It's really hard. And then if you end up with struggles in the midst of trying to do that focus, or you end up in warfare with the enemy or warfare with people, that destroys keeping your focus on things. And because I've been working with Carol, I've really been focused for the last couple of months, at least, on kids' church. And somebody asked me the other day, how are you doing? And I said, oh, I feel like I'm on this merry-go-round. And the music keeps playing, and the horses keep going up and down. And then it goes faster and faster and faster. And the only way I'm going to get off of this thing is to jump. But I'm not jumping, because that would hurt. And so it's like, okay, but what I'm on, working with kids' church, it's by design that I'm on this merry-go-round right now, okay? It's by design. God has ordained that. So there will be a time where I'll be able to get off. The music will stop, the horses will stop, and I'll be able to get off. And we're all kind of like that. So let's work together here today on how we're going to keep our focus, okay? So the thing we need to remember, though, with keeping your focus is that it's like perseverance. How can I explain it? I'll explain it this way. I'll give you an illustration. When I was a kid, we took swimming lessons. There was no pool in West Concord. There was a pool in Dodge Center. And we had to ride our bikes, pedal our bikes, to West Concord, which was 3 miles, to pick up the bus to come to Dodge Center to take swimming lessons. Now, you would never do that in today's world. My parents, 5 of us kids, pedal on our bikes early in the morning all the way to West Concord, 3 miles. Nobody would do that nowadays. But the thing of it was, the community that I lived in, that I grew up in, is Concord, and it sits down in a river valley. And so you have to climb what was called Crouch's Hill. You had to climb this hill. And I don't know, pedal bikers over here, climbing hills with bikes, it was like, you know, and then you stand up. You can't sit anymore pedaling. You got to stand up and pedal. And it was hard. Getting to West Concord was hard because it was uphill all the way. But then coming home was easy. It was like coming down off that hill, you could coast all the way down and then up to the next before you hit the stop sign and had to turn to go home. That's the way life is when we have our focus, we're pushing to make effort to get somewhere, to have fruit. But then if you coast and you drop back and you lose your focus, it happens really, really fast. It's almost like going downhill. It's a bummer. I don't know why it has to be that way, but it is that way. It's kind of like, what's that law where everything starts in order and goes to chaos? Anybody know what that? Murphy's Law, what is second law of thermodynamics, is that kind of what it is? It order goes to chaos, and that's the way things are. So we're going to work on that today, okay? So, first off, there's no condemnation. If you are stalled, if you are set back, if you don't have a focus right now, you don't have a clue in the world what you're supposed to be doing, or if life is just rotten, it's okay, because a lot of times what we do is we make 2 steps forward and 1 step back. So we're going to work on this together, all right, to get us going and get us going on a focus, all right? So, I'm going to talk about focus, but I'm going to use some interchangeable terms, okay? My terms are going to be different at different times, okay? So, focus. Somebody better run, get me a different pen. Okay, we can say it's vision. Anybody got a vision right now? Something that you want to do? Vision. Got vision? Hands up. Vision. Okay, how about, what's my other one here? How about purpose? Anybody have purpose today? Purpose. There we go. We got some hands for purpose. How about goals? Anybody have any goals? Goals. Got goals? How about this one? Got a mission. A lot of people, businesses, they have mission statements. Mission. You have a mission. There you go. Okay, we're going to use these interchangeably. Okay, so if I say focus, if I say mission, if I say purpose, if I say goal, it's all the same. It's all the same to me. Oh, you got me the big one. Oh. Look at that thing. How are you supposed to write with that? Yes. Going to eat you. Yeah. Little Red Riding Hood. Okay, so now focus really is the framework of our life, because with a focus, if you have focus in your life, then you have boundaries. Okay, you know, okay, I'm not going to do that, or I'm going to do this. It fits into your focus, right? If you have a vision, it's going to fit into that. Anything outside of that, you're just not going to get involved in it, right? Like when I sold scrapbooking stuff for Creative Memories, I was not, absolutely not going to get into cards. I was not going to do that because it was outside my focus, all right? So you're following me so far? So moving on, then, your focus and your vision also can be personal, okay? Frustrated here. Not too bad, huh? Personal, okay? Personal. Okay, give me some personal visions and goals that you have. Come on, help one another. Come on. Nobody has any. Yes, Josh. Okay. An administrator. Okay. That's good. Yes. Marine Corps. Oh, good grief. Marine, did I spell it right?
Yeah.
Corpse, right? Right? Am I right? Am I right? Isn't that how it works? Okay, anybody else? Come on. Come on, come on. Yes.
Be ordained.
Ordained. Hoo-hoo. I like that. Okay, how about in your normal, how about in your just regular everyday life? Do you have goals? Huh? Grandma, yes. Okay, here's one. Becca and Rodney are living through this one right now. Everything is about potty training. Even the play is about potty training. Sam is. Yeah, not them. Not them. You're trained. Okay. All right. But so this would be parenting, right? This would be parenting. 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 Okay. How about your job? Is your job not? Okay. Job. Or a new one. Okay. There we go.
Marriage.
Love and marriage. Love and marriage. How does it go? Ooh. Ooh. Marriage. Marriage. See, it is true. When you get up here, your spelling goes right out your elbow. Does it? Yeah. Well, okay. Debt free. Okay, that's good. There we go. Jesus, play guitar. Okay. This is good. This is good. Okay, so you see, these are goals, these are visions. You're going to do things, right? You're going to do things to try and fulfill these, correct? If you don't do anything, you're going to have the same thing that you've always had, right? Okay, so I dealt with that. Okay, so these are seasons. If you have not come Wednesday night to listen to Pastor Tim talk about seasons, you need to get here because it's good stuff, Maynard. It's really good. Okay, I'm going to turn this. Okay, so seasons, and your seasons change. Sometimes they even overlap. You could be parenting, and yet you're going back to school, so you're getting an education. Let's see what other things. So you have a job, you're parenting. Maybe you have two jobs, and so you have all these things that overlap, but they still are part of your goal and part of your vision, all right? Let's see, let me find my place here, because I was talking too much about that. Okay, so you do need to have, well, let me do this. How many of you, let's do it honestly now, vision, goal, purpose, raise your hand. Raise your hand, you have one. You have one. You know where you're going, you know, okay? Good. Good, good percentage. Okay, well, you need to have one. It doesn't matter if you're a toddler. Toddlers have vision, and that is they're either learning to walk or getting up or crawling, or, you know, they have their purpose. You need to have one because you're going to, it's either by design or default. You're actually going to go somewhere. So you can do it either by design. God can design it, you can put it together, you can make it work, or you'll do it by default. Now, I've done a lot of things by default, and part of that is because I started on a vision, I had something that I was doing, and it went a long time, and so in the process of this long duration, then I kind of lost where I was going. Do you understand that? Can you understand that? Where it's like, okay, I'm not sure where I'm going anymore. I've been parenting for 13 years, and I don't know where I'm going anymore. Well, you're still parenting. So sometimes, and we'll talk about this, you got to go back and you got to reevaluate. You got to revision some things, okay? So in order to have a clear vision, you have to know, I gotta move along, know that you know. Do you know what I mean by that? You know that you know, and you know where you know. Okay? You need to know that you know. And how do you do that? Anybody? How do you do that? How do you know that you know that you know that you know what you're supposed to do? God will give you peace. If you don't know, what do? You pray. Okay, let's go to this scripture. Okay, James 1. Let's do this quickly. Otherwise, I'm not going to have enough time. Okay. Time. Who's got the time? Ah, this is bad. You guys, you got to stop it. Okay, James 1, 5 through 9. And actually, I'm not going to read it from there because I can't see it with these glasses. So I'm going to read it from my notes because I got it in 18, you know. It's large. It's large here. Okay, everybody there? Okay, so if you need wisdom, if you need to know that you know that you know that you know, okay, ask God and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. He's not going to call you a dummy or say that you're stupid for asking. Well, how come you didn't know? Well, I'm asking. But when you ask him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Okay, he's your answer. He's going to help you with that. Don't waver, for a person with divided loyalties is as unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. You've all seen that before. You know what that looks like. Such people should not expect to receive anything from God. Okay? Their loyalty is divided between God and the world, and they are unstable in everything that they do. So we're led by peace. Okay? We're also led by dreams, desire, visions, and I got one more, ideas. Okay? Now, all of these come from God, and they work through you. Do you know that most of everything that you get, ideas, desires, visions, they do come from God? They do. He just speaks them to your brain. And a lot of times, we don't even pick up on it. We just think, oh, well, that was sure a good idea. I'm so glad I thought of that. Well, you didn't think of it. It wasn't you. I'll just, you know, you're just not smart enough. Okay, you're just not smart enough. These all come from God. They really do. They all come from him. So you can trust some of these things, and then Dale had it, and then it's peace, being led by peace. Isn't that cute? Being led by peace. That's your key. Now, you can go for godly counsel. There's nothing wrong with that. Godly counsel is important, all right? You can do that, but you still need to be led by peace because people don't always know what your situation is. So you're still led by peace. Whatever gives you peace in here is what you follow. All right? Everybody following me? All right, now you could say, well, you know, I just don't have a spiritual goal. I don't have a spiritual vision. Doesn't matter. Not everyone is called to ministry. You all realize that, right? Shake your heads. Yes, we realize that. We're not all called to ministry. Some of us are called to the jobs that we have. And we love the jobs that we have. And that's good. That's where God destined you to be, okay? And we know that our whole life is given to God, okay? We live out our whole life. 1 Corinthians 10:31, so whatever we do, eat, drink, whatever we do in all things, it's to the glory of God, right? Everything that you do, you can look at your life that way. Everything that I do is for God's glory. Okay, let me give you three scriptures. I'm going to give you the references, and you can look these up on your own, okay? Proverbs 16:3, commit your actions to the Lord, and your plans will succeed. The Amplified says, roll your works upon the Lord, commit and trust them wholly to him, and he will cause your thoughts to become agreeable with his, and so shall your plans be established and succeed. You just give it over to God. He'll take care of it for you. Okay, I'm making a mess here. Okay, next one, John 15:5. Anybody know what's in John 15? I know Charlie does. John 15? You should all know what's in John 15. What? Vine. Vine in the branches. Yeah, you should all spend time. John 15. Learn that one, okay? John 15:5, yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. Okay, so you got to be connected to him to do and have the fruit. Doesn't matter what you do, whether it's ministry or if it's, I say just a job, but just a job is an awful way to put it because jobs are important because you're working with people, you're dealing with people. Anything that you do is important, all right? So don't sell yourself short on that, okay? For apart from me, apart from Jesus, you can do nothing. And then Acts 17:28a, for in him we live and move our being. Yeah, we could sing the song, couldn't we? Yep, it's a fun song. It's an old song, but it's a fun song. Okay, so with your vision and your ideas and your goals and those kinds of things, they transition. Here at the church, we have seen different transitions where when Carrie and Larissa and Zach and Oliver, I see Oliver sitting out there, when they were kids, we had a boatload of kids. We would release the kids for kids' church and everybody in the sanctuary would get up and leave. And there were like five of us left. Do you remember that? It was just a crazy time. Okay, well, now we don't have so many kids as we had then. We were running like 30, 35 kids at that time. Now we don't have so many. It's transition, okay? So you got to be able to flow a little bit. Got to be able to flow. You got to be flexible. Flexibility is a character trait. Did you know that? But flying by the seat of your pants doesn't work, okay? I'll just tell you that. With goals and vision, flying by the seat of your pants will get you nowhere. It will. It just won't do it for you because you got to have a plan. Got to have a plan. Okay, so in the midst of transitions, you need to write some of these things down, okay? Do any of you do that? You get an idea and you write it down. Okay, I got three. Oh, I got one back there out in the entryway. Yes, you've got to write them down. And oh, there's one. The reason why you have to write them down is because things get in the way. And I'll give you an example. I was over working for Ted and Loretta. I don't even remember what year I started working for them, but I was working for them. I started out wrapping wires. They had a needle wire business, whatever it was called. She's sitting here writing. So what was it called? Subdermal needles. They went in your skin, okay, and they had wires and you hook it up to a machine, something like that. Anyway, I wrapped them in a clean room situation and I liked it. It was wonderful. I did it right away in the morning. It gave me my hour of quiet where nobody was talking to me except Ted would greet me in the morning. And I would go in and I would do my deal. Well, as time progressed, then they needed more help out in the shop, and so I started being there most of the day. And that was great, that was fun, I enjoyed what I was doing, and then it was like, I don't know how long I was into it, maybe a year, and it was like, all of a sudden, I just hated my life. Have you ever hated your life? You've just gone, oh, this is just, I just hate my life. And I didn't cry, because I'm not a crier, I'm not that kind of a person, but I mean, I was struggling. And this went on for months where I hated my life and I hated my life. And I process internally. Some people process like this. I don't do that. I process internally and I'm just, oh, I hate my life. And finally I told Roger, so you can see how bad it was. I said, I hate my life. And he goes, what? I said, I hate my life. And he goes, what do you hate? I don't know. I just hate my life. And it got so bad that there was one day I was going to work. Okay, so this is before 6 o'clock in the morning. I'm driving over, and it's like I have this thought. And it was, I'm going to just blow past Casson. I'm just going to keep going. I've got my credit card. I'm going to go do some things I want to do. And it was like, oh, Melanie, you've got it bad. Because this is not me. This is not me. I went to work. I didn't blow past Casson. I went to work. But I was meeting with Sue. We were meeting and praying. And I told her, I said, I hate my life. And I said, I have to have a word. I have got to have a word. I said, you come back next week. I think Steve was there too. Weren't you, Steve? Yes, he was there as well. And I said, you come back next week because I got to have a word. And I was so upset. And this is what happens. You get so upset and you get so worked up that you cannot hear anything. You can't hear. Anybody been there? You can't hear, okay? So they came back the next week, and Steve gave me a scripture verse. I can't even remember what it was. It was terrible. I wrote it down in my journal, but I didn't have time to go look at it. But Sue, she said, all I got is that you're supposed to go back to the last thing the Lord said to you. Write it down. Write it down. You've got to write it down. Because I wouldn't have known. I could not tell you why I hated my life. I could not tell you. So I went back to the last thing that I wrote down that the Lord had told me to do. And the Lord had told me that I was supposed to be studying, I was supposed to be reading my Bible, and I was supposed to be praying. And I let life get in the way. And so when I did that, then it was, I had to go to Loretta and I say, I'm giving my 2 weeks notice. I'm done. Because I knew I needed to be doing something else. And then that's when I started taking classes with ITC. Because I knew that that was what I was supposed to do. And that completely changed. I didn't hate my life anymore. I didn't hate my life anymore. So take that as an example of maybe something that you need to consider in your life. Okay? Circumstances will subtly change your vision. You won't even see it happening. You won't. I'm sure some of you have seen that. It will just come in and it will railroad your vision that you have for your life if you're not careful. So we always need to be observant about our vision, okay? Now, I had all that emotion. Do you remember what Pastor Andy Sperlin used to tell us? He said, emotions are the idiot lights on your dashboard of your life. So if they are going off, you need to back up and you need to find out why they're going off. So that's something to remember, and I don't always remember that until I'm, you know, totally frazzed, okay? So let's do, sorry about that. I should use better English, shouldn't I? Okay, let's about writing it down, let's go to Habakkuk 2:2-4. Can you go there? Let's see. It's between Zephaniah and Nahum. Does that help you at all? It's in the Old Testament. Okay. All right. So I'm going to start because you're never going to get there. Just saying. Okay, the Lord said to me, write my answer plainly on tablets so that the runner can carry the correct message to others. This vision is for a future time, and I'm going to talk about that in a minute. It describes the end, and it will be fulfilled. If it seems slow in coming, wait patiently, for it will surely take place. It will not be delayed. Look at the proud. They trust in themselves and their lives are crooked, but the righteous will live by their faithfulness to God. So here's the deal. When you write it down, it's not going to matter if it comes slowly. Sometimes our visions take a long time to come to pass. They just do. I remember we were called to ministry while we were still farming, and you cannot pack up a farm in a suitcase and take it to Bible school with you. It's just not going to happen. The cows aren't going to fit. Just isn't going to happen. And it was frustrating. I will just say, it was terribly frustrating because here we were farming, and we were farming poorly. We were doing a poor job at it. We went to some special meetings, and we came home, and here we had forgotten to shut the gate, and we had cows all over the yard. And we were poor farmers. That wasn't where we were supposed to be, but it took time to get there. Circumstances had to come into play. Timing is everything when you're in the midst of a vision or in getting a vision to come to pass. All right, so wait for it patiently, it says here. It comes slowly. That's what I'm trying to say, okay? But it won't delay. It will come, all right? So, I shared all that. So let's look at I want to talk about our main focus. What do I got for time? Our main focus. Okay, we all have jobs, yada, yada, yada. You know, those are your focus. But your main focus is your, slow down, Melanie. Ugh. Progress. I write better than this. Really, I do. I've got good penmanship. Practiced for years. That was a big thing for me, practicing my penmanship. Okay, spiritual progress. Go to Colossians 1. Okay, that you should find pretty easy. That shouldn't be hard. Okay, and I will wait for you. Colossians 3. Did I say Colossians 1? Colossians 3. Sorry about that. And again, I'm going to read it from my notes because my notes are bigger than my Bible. All right. Since you have been raised to new life in Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ is seated in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things in heaven, not things on earth, for you have died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. Keep your eyes on things eternal. Now, when I say that, I'm going to do this, okay? Okay, we're going to talk about body, soul, and spirit. Anybody familiar with body, soul, and spirit? You've heard the teaching, body, soul, and spirit. Okay, those of you that haven't. Okay, you're a three-part being. You people that are sitting out there. You're a three-part being, okay? You're a spirit being. Most of all, foremost, you're a spirit being. You came with that when you came to earth. You came with a spirit, okay? And then you have a soul. And that is your intellect, your will, and your emotions. That's all a part of your soul. These two things, your spirit and your soul, when you die, these things go into eternity. Okay, so these are the things, these are your main focus right here. Your spirit man and your soul. Those are the things that are the most important to you. Okay, got to think long range here. Okay, and then what you have is you have your body. And the only reason you have a body is so that you can exist here. Because if you didn't have your body, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So if you're here, you have to have this body. So, I mean, you want to take care of it, of course. But the main thing that you want to be concerned about is your spirit and your soul, because they will go into eternity. And I don't have time to talk about all of that, but your spirit becomes alive, and this is amazing. You've all experienced this. When this comes alive, it's like brand new. You no longer have a heart of stone, you have a heart of flesh. And it's alive, okay? Your soul, on the other hand, that thing, your intellect, your will, and your emotions, you got to train that thing. Because that thing is evil. Right? Right? It's evil, is it not? Think about it. What are some of the thoughts? Roger was talking about, okay, shouldn't we have this thing where we pass through it and it tells us where we're at spiritually? And everybody went, oh, no, no, no. Well, that's because of this. That's because of this soul thing. You've got to train that. You've got to renew that. You've got to redirect it. Because, I'm going to go on. Okay, can't teach on that. I'm sorry, can't teach on that. Okay, so what we're going to do, we're going to talk about some maintenance here of this. Okay, so this is our progress, this is our vision, this is our goal right now, our focus, okay? So maintenance, the key to maintenance is progress. Okay, anybody have to do maintenance on your house? I hate that. I do. I hate maintenance on the house. It's like I painted it, it looks fresh, it looks new, and then 10 years down the road, you got to redo everything again, and I don't like it because I don't want to spend the time in it. The pastor at Hillsong Church in Australia, and if you're not familiar with Hillsong, Hillsong is where we get a great majority of our music that we sing, comes from Hillsong. The pastor there, whose name is Brian Houston, he said, many people want progress without process. They want the destination without the journey. Oh, that's just so human, isn't it? I want it now. I don't want to have to work for it. You know, it's like, okay, I want to be skinny. Lord, just make me skinny. You know, well, it doesn't work like that. Doesn't work. And here's the deal, is that maintenance is work. Maintenance is effort. And if you give up on maintenance, what happens? Falls apart. And I don't like it any more than you do, but that is what happens here on this earth. If you don't take care of it, it's going to fall apart. Same thing with your spiritual progress. It's going to fall apart. So what can we do for maintenance? Okay, my suggestion is that you become a lifelong learner. A lifelong learner. Because if you do that, then you're going to stay on top of your game, so to speak. Okay? So, Paul, I'll just read this to you. 1 Timothy 4:11. Paul is talking to Timothy, and he's saying, and this is bold as far as I'm concerned. He says to Timothy, he says, teach these things and insist on everyone learning them. And I just think, wow. Can we do that? Can I stand up here and say, I insist that you become a lifelong learner? You know, it's strong. It's strong, but it's true. That's what you need to do. Here's the thing with information, okay? We get information and facts. We're learners, okay? But did you know that you have to understand facts and information before it becomes knowledge? It's like, okay, this is my daily Bible reading. I've read this page and this page, and this page and this page, but I can't remember a single thing that I read. Well, you did the deal. You did the drill, but you got nothing out of it. Okay, so it's important that you understand the facts and the information, because then it becomes knowledge. Now, with knowledge, knowledge is worthless unless you apply it. You can have all the knowledge in the world. In fact, what is it that they say? About there are some geniuses that they don't have an ounce of common sense because they don't know how to apply it. But if you apply the knowledge that you have appropriately, then it becomes wisdom. How about that? So I don't care how much of Proverbs you have memorized if you're not applying it. It's not wisdom to you. Okay, so lifelong learning. We've got to do it. All right, so I keep saying that. So I'll watch this and I'll go, oh, Melanie, you got to quit saying that. So lifelong learners, what can we do? I keep saying that, don't I? Lifelong learner. Is that what I'm doing?
Yeah.
Or is it just I don't know what I'm talking about?
You sow it and then you water it with the rest of
there you go. Sure, that works for me. Yeah, there we go. Okay, so examples. What could we do for lifelong learning? Come on. Huh? Read. What kind of read? Read. Okay, ho. Okay. You would like, yeah. Oh, sorry, Ted. Sorry. What did they say? I can't remember what you said. Spiritual books. Okay, Bible. Okay, what are some other things?
You know, you can read books that are against your beliefs, because then it'll push you harder back to it.
Okay, so devil's advocate kind of thing.
Oop, right.
See? Need a plant there or something to avoid that. Okay, how about this? How about that? Melanie, we are just so tired of hearing about your AFCM ITC Bible classes. I get it. But do you realize that when the students, those that are students, they come Wednesday night to listen to Tim Gilligan, they get 50 minutes of him. That's it. You get 50 minutes every Wednesday night. They're going, oh, I need more. You'll get that way. You'll get so that you need more. Yes, Josh.
How about practical use?
Like?
Such as, you can study it, but rather than using it, it's completely different. So
okay, so ministry. Ministry. Evangelize. Yeah. That's good. How about small groups? And you know what? A small group, you don't have to have... You don't have to have it organized. You know, if you got a couple of people that want to get together and read and pray, that works. It'll keep you, what it does is it keeps you accountable. How about this? You can't even see this, can you, Randy? Do you care? Yes. Biographies, godly people. Reading about their lives, because what you do with biographies is you find out where they made their mistakes and then you're supposed to not make them. Mm-hmm. It works. Or even just normal people, Melanie. Just people, they don't have to be godly people, but biographies. I'm talking too fast is what my problem is. Just biographies. Like, we have a couple back there. Who was the was it the submarine? You know, the submarine that came up and hit the boat? Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Where's Helen? No. Helen, do you remember that? The U.S. submarine that came up and it hit a fishing boat and a bunch of people were killed? His book is back there. There's different things like that you can pick up and you can read. So it doesn't have to be necessarily spiritual or religious. You know, biographies, you learn from people. Okay, it's learning. Learning is the thing. Okay? This will help your lifelong learning. Get yourself a mentor. And don't let this scare you, this word scare you. Mentor is just somebody who's just a little bit ahead of you. Yes?
A life
coach. Okay, yep, life coach. They're just somebody who's just a little bit ahead of you. They don't have to be have a doctorate in theology, that kind of thing. Or here's something that I found, that a lot of times you know that you're supposed to mentor someone, go find those people. And I've done that several different times where I felt like I was supposed to meet with people. And it wasn't like I had a plan, but I just knew I was supposed to do it. And so I went, actually Bev was one of them, where I approached her and I said, do you want to get together and meet? You know, we really didn't have an agenda. We met for how many years? And Kim joined us too. Yeah, we did it for a couple of years, more than a couple of years, I think. And it was helpful. It wasn't always easy. It wasn't always convenient, but it worked. It helped, and it kept us accountable. It kept us moving. We were progressing, okay? Yep, that works too. That works too. Here's the thing. Don't be so prideful that you can't ask for help, because we all need help. Sometimes you need just, Susan Roberts called me the other day, and she said, okay, I just need somebody to listen. Just need somebody to listen. I don't need any answers. And I said, I'm good with that, because I'm not always good with answers. She just needed somebody to dump on, and you all need that, don't you? Come on, raise your hand. You need somebody to dump on, to get it off your chest, and then you can go on and you can move in life. So that's good. There's nothing wrong with that. The guys back in the day, yes, you guys, back in the day, Steve, you might remember this. Ted, you might remember this. Loretta, you might remember this. I'm trying to think. Back before we started our church, we were a small group. And the guys would do this to stay accountable. They'd ask each other when they saw each other, randomly, they would say, what's the word for today? And I didn't want to be a part of that at all. Because I was just learning about Scripture, and yeah, I could spout off a verse, but that didn't mean I understood it or knew what it was talking about. But that was how they kept accountable. They'd see each other, and they'd say, what's the word for today? You could find somebody that would do that with you. Or here's another thing. Should I say this? I can say this. These guys are here. Roger and I are working with Dale and Josh and others on, because they want to be public speakers, we're working on them on their public grammar. If you've got an issue, and I'm just picking that out. They write correctly, but they don't say correctly. They don't speak necessarily correctly because of the environment that we live in. You would be amazed at how incorrectly we speak. Just saying. But you can pick, I mean, if you're a lifelong learner, it doesn't have to be religious. It just has to be learning. Okay? Do you grab the scope of that? All right. Day to day is what takes you to your future. You don't just automatically get to your future. It's day by day by day by day. Okay? And fruit comes from longevity. In the spring, we have blossoms, and then the bees, they pollinate, and then we go through summer, and then in the fall, we have fruit. We don't have fruit in the spring, right? So you need to keep these things in your mind. Everything takes process, and it's a progress, okay? So let's talk about this. If you have a problem reading your Bible daily, and I know I lament on this over and over and over again, if you don't have that into your life and you go, oh, daily Bible reading, then just pick a verse. You know, you can go to the Christian bookstore and get cards, or you can make up your own cards, and you can take them with you during the day. And you can pull them out of your purse or out of your pocket, and you can look at them, and you can read them throughout the day. Throughout the day is best, because one time through isn't going to do you. Is that not true? You're not going to remember it, but if you do it throughout the day, set your phone alarm and say, okay, at 10 o'clock, I'm going to take a minute, and I'm going to read this scripture verse again. All right? Start small. If you're not doing anything, start small. You're not going to retrain. You're not going to get this thing retrained by not doing anything. Did I say that right? This has to be trained. You have to be doing something in order for that to get trained. All right? Scripture says, studies show yourself approved. A workman who can handle the word of truth. You can present it. If you plan on presenting it at all, you need to know it. And that comes by spending time in it. All right? Now, for me, I need an hour of reflection. Pastor Tim talked about this last Wednesday night. Reflection is good because that is where your ideas will come. That's where your encouragement will come. That's where your inspiration will come. You've got to have quiet in order for that to happen. And if you would just go ahead and start doing some of that, just have an hour of silence. I love silence. If you would just have that, you would be amazed. That's how I got the idea for the kids' church stuff, is I just said, okay, God, we got to do something. and I don't know what I'm doing. So, and then there it comes. It was just spending time in quiet, all right? Now, I know that there are different things that are out there. There's scriptures for the day. I know these are just examples for you, and if you have any others, please raise your hand as I'm talking so that we can catch them. Lynn Hammond puts out tweets every day, and it's scripture verse or it's inspiration, something for you to meditate on during the day. That would be a way. If you're really into technology, you can get a tweet from Lynn Hammond. How about that? What a neat deal. KTIS, the radio station from the Twin Cities. My sister shared this with me. My sister gets the scripture of the day text to her from the radio station, the scripture that they're using for the day, gets text to her. And then she sets her alarm to look at it throughout the day. That's an idea for you. Okay? Anybody else? Any other ideas of what might work for you? Okay, yep. Okay. Okay, good, yes. There you go, there you go. Those things would all help you to get, if you have not started anything, that would get you going, okay? That would be good. Oh, say them. Okay, so what was it? Our Daily Bread app, and then what was the other one? Leadershipology.com. Jesus Calls. That's also on the internet?
Sends you.
Okay? Sends you stuff. Okay, those are things to think about. Here's something. You're looking for opportunities during the day to have pause where you're letting God back into your life because you all have jobs, you all have things that you're doing, taking a moment to let God back into your life. Here's something that happens to us frequently, especially in the summer, and that is that the Lutheran Church here in town has, what do they call it? Clarion. Yes, it's a clarion. And it starts at 11:45 and at 6:45, and it plays hymns. Now, I'm not a hymn girl. I grew up in the Lutheran church, and we sang the same songs over and over again. They were Martin Luther's song. What are they? Faith of Our Fathers and A Mighty Fortress Is There. But Roger was really good at it, and what we did is we'd call it Name That Hymn. And the hymns would play, and it was Name That Hymn. And a lot of times we didn't know the name of the hymn, but he could sing them. He would listen, and he would start singing. Of course, it was tenor part he was singing, but he grew up with all those hymns. Now, every now and again, they would have Jesus Loves Me, and I knew that one, so I got points for that. But it just gave you, what it did was it just gave you a moment of pause. It brought God back into your life for a moment. It was just for a moment. And that's really, the moments are what is effective in your life. You can just slow down and have a moment, okay? That's something that you can do. Christian radio in your car. Now, I know a lot of you listen to country, whatever, you know, gloom, despair, agony on me kind of stuff. You know, I'm not taking issue with that. I personally like classic rock. That's what I grew up with, you know, and I can snap my fingers with the best of them. But Christian music, when you get in your car and Christian music is going, it brings you back. It reconnects you. Okay, so consider what you're listening to, okay? Doesn't mean you can't listen to country music or classic radio. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is you need opportunities to pause and to bring God back into your life, okay? So let's talk about some detractors. Ooh, quickly, detractors. And distractions. Distractions. Anybody have distractions? Anybody? Children? I used to think children were distractions. That is not true. They are not distractions. Absolutely not. Okay, it was just because I had my priorities out of line. That was the problem. Okay, here's one for you, health. To me, when I bring this up, health, when I have health issues, I have health issues. Just saying, I have a hard time praying and reading my Bible when I'm sick. Now, Tawny Rose, she does a great job. This woman, she sends, I don't know how she does it, she sends me encouragement just about every day. And I know she doesn't feel well most of the time. She's struggling with a battle in her body. This thing here will just make your life miserable, okay? But if you are able, this is a nugget that I got from Ellie. Ellie's here. She shared this with me when I came to her, and I said, oh, I'm so glad you're helping with kids' church. And she says, well, you know, she said, I need to do something else for somebody else because then I don't sit and think about myself. And you know, that is treasure right there. That is profound what she shared. Because if you're so consumed, and when you have health issues, you are consumed with yourself. You are. I'm just saying, you go inward, you become an introvert. Any of you women who have had babies, you know what that's like. You go inward, you try and deal with it all inside, and you become a nasty person. Well, you do, because all you think about is yourself. I mean, let's be real. All you think about is yourself. So, you know, this is a thing that we really need to be on top of. Now, if you're in this place where you're struggling with this and you need help, don't be so prideful that you can't ask for help. Get on the phone and call somebody and say, will you pray with me? Will you come over? Will you come over to my house? If you're not able to leave your home, say, will you come over to my house and have coffee with me? You know, I'll stop at the store. I'll pay you later, but stop at the store and get some cookies. You know, that kind of thing. Get the help that you need. Now, I'm a person that if I don't feel good, I don't want anybody around. Because what I do, well, this is what I do. I accommodate you. I don't feel good, but I accommodate you. So I put on this mask with feathers and beads and make it look like I'm doing okay, and I'm not doing okay. Okay, everybody is different. So if you need somebody, you need to call. You need, because none of us here have ESP. We don't. We don't always know what's going on in your life. So if you need help, you need to call somebody. Call somebody, okay? It's important that you do that. Here's another thing that you can do with your health thing is find a project. I don't care what it is. It doesn't have to be spiritual. Just find something to do with your person, you know, within the limits of where you're at. See if there's something that you can do with yourself. Maybe you need to start reading. Read, like we talked about, read those biographies. And if you can't read the book, you know, some people don't like to read. I get that. You could get the audiobook. Actually, audiobooks are interesting because my kids, every one of my children now, have a set of the Focus on the Family Radio Theater Narnia series. Hoo-hoo! We had those when the kids were little, and they would go to sleep listening to those Narnia CDs. And I don't know, how many months ago was it? Hayden was at the house, and she says to me, are you a beardless dwarf? I'm not a dwarf. I'm a girl, and actually, I'm the tallest in my class. Now, if you know Narnia, you know that's Mr. Tumnus not knowing what she is. He doesn't know who she is or what she is. And he asks her if she's a beardless dwarf. And she says, no, she's not a dwarf. She's a girl. And Hayden said it with the British accent. So, hey, you might even get a British accent out of listening to audiobooks. That might be a good deal. But Focus on the Family Radio Theater, they have the German pastor, Bonhoeffer. What's his first name?
Reinhard.
Yes. Yes. There we go. That's what it is. Dietrich. Yes. He was a pastor during World War II. That's also on radio theater. I'm trying to think what the other ones are. There's a multitude of them. Check them out. Wonderful, wonderful stories that you could be listening to. All right. And it will help your vocabulary, believe it or not. Reading will help your vocabulary and your spelling. So if you have an issue with that. Okay, I got to keep moving. Okay. The other thing with health is get yourself so that you're speaking good things about yourself. Okay? If you're talking gloom, despair, agony on me, deep dark depression, excessive misery, if it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. Gloom, despair, and agony on me, hee-haw. If, you know, dates me, okay? You know, you can sing that song. You can talk that nasty, nasty talk, but you need to stop that. You need to have positive things that you're saying. Get your Bible out, write a scripture verse on a card, start speaking it. Carrie's got scripture in the shower. You guys have probably seen it. They've come to my house. Carrie's got, what is it, 1 Corinthians 13, written on the shower wall with marker that she looks at every day. Yes? That'll work. She chalk painted the closet doors. That is wonderful. Have it written all over your walls. Okay? All right. Have the kids help you. The kids like to write on walls. All right, they do, they do. Okay, let's talk about priorities. I gotta move. Priorities. If you have your priorities out of line, you are going to have problems, okay? It's just the way it is. Some of you need to say no to different things. And the thing of it is, if you don't have your priorities in line, somebody else will set your priorities for you. They will, because they will find things for you to do. Because people do that, okay? People like me, I'll find you something to do. If you don't have something to do, I'll find you something to do. That kind of thing, okay? So, let's see. So here's something that I learned when we went to visit Rod and Becca. I'm telling way too many stories. Rod and Becca, when they lived in Washington on Whidbey Island, I noticed this. We got on the ferry at Mukilteo. I can't spell it, but Mukilteo. Got on the ferry, and I observed all these people have to line up. The cars have to line up to get on the ferry. And then when the ferry comes, they let you in, and the cars go into the belly of the ferry. And I noticed we got out of our vehicle and went topside, which was good because I don't do well with motion. And I noticed all these people sitting in their car with books. I said, what? They're reading. And she said, yeah, they're going to utilize their time well. If you've got to see, this is where what your life is like, you need to set the priorities of how you're going to use your time. Okay, so these people, they knew they were going to have to set in line to get on the ferry. And then once they're on the ferry, they have to wait to get across. How long does a ferry take to get from one to 3 minutes? 20 minutes? Okay, that's a long time. And then if you have to sit, how long?
An hour
to wait for the ferry. You know, you want to use that time. Okay, think about that in your own life. Okay, evaluate your own life. All right? So think about the time that you're diddling away. Okay, anybody a diddler? I diddle. I like to diddle, actually. But it's a waste. It's a waste. You don't have to, you can have a little bit of diddle time, but not a lot. Okay? Finances. I didn't put priorities up here. So I'm not going to do that. You just write them down if you want them, okay? Finances will kill your vision if you're not careful, because there's always never enough finances to fulfill your vision. It's just the way it is. So evaluate where you're spending your money, because maybe your money needs to be going somewhere else, okay? This will kill your focus and your vision because you'll become consumed with your finances, okay? How about technology? Technology. Okay, games. Computer games, TV, computer. This is a real bad one, Pinterest. Oh, Pinterest. Sometimes I think it's of the devil, especially when you're dealing with weddings, because there's way too many ideas out there. Actually, I do like Pinterest because it's my muse for my artwork. Surfing the web, just be really careful about your technology, how much time you spend on it, okay? Because it will consume your life if you let it. All right, perfection. Anybody deal with perfection? Who's a perfectionist out there? Okay, perfection will kill your vision. Because what it does is it causes you to be defeated before you even get started, because there's no way that you can make that thing perfect. You can't. You can't make it perfect, so it kills it before you even get started. Okay, so here's the thing you need to learn is that it's important. What's important is the progress, not the perfection. So you're going somewhere. You're going somewhere. You're making progress. Okay, that's the important thing. Here's the other thing with perfection. We've got those that go on the other side of perfection where they're just loosey-goosey kind of thing going on. Yeah, loosey-goosey kind of thing going on. And they go, well, you know, the grace of God, it'll just take care of it all. And, you know, that is sloppy grace. That is sloppy grace. Grace is not opposed to effort. It's not opposed to effort. It works together with effort because how does it go? God, we can't do God's part, and God doesn't do our part. But the two of us together doing our specific parts, then we can really do something. Okay? So take those into consideration. Okay, I need to stop. Actually, yeah, I need to stop. Oh, but I can't. Okay, I'll give you two more. I'll give you two more because these are important. Discontentment. Discontentment. That's where the duration of the vision kind of goes long, and you don't know what to do with it. You need to discover how to be content with things, okay? And that's Philippians 4, 11 through 13, if you want to go to that scripture. You need to discover the difference between enough and more. Do I have enough or do I need more? How many boats do you need? You know, well, I'm just saying. That's just an example that popped into my head. Maybe that's not appropriate for, you know, you folks. But, you know, how much is enough? And if you know how much is enough, then you can be content in that. All right? Age has a lot to do with that, too. When you're younger, you want more stuff. But I'll tell you, you got to take care of the stuff. So, you know, I wanted a cabin on the lake, and my dad said, why on earth do you want to do that? He says, you got to take care of it. You got to mow the lawn. You never spend any time on the lake because you're busy taking care of the cabin, okay? So, and that was from experience of his own, okay? Here's the last one, inconsistency, okay? Inconsistency, most of the problem and the clutter that we have in our life is because we're inconsistent. We just don't stick with it. Would you agree? Yep, inconsistency. But God, he's consistent, right? Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Yes, forever. So we need to think that way. Successful people, did you know that successful people are people who are successful because they have good habits? They have good habits that they've set into their life. It pertains to their life, and that's the thing you need to discover. Whatever is going on in your life, you need to set those habits in that are going to work for you. Not my habits aren't going to work for you. Your habits will work for you, okay? Consistency stunts your growth, your progress, and your maturity. There are no shortcuts, all right? So stick with it, all right? Okay. Okay, now I lost my place, you guys. Okay, the greatest enemy, Larissa, the greatest enemy of consistency, she gets me going, is weariness. Weariness. You get tired. You get tired. Being a mommy makes you tired. I'll just say it. Makes you tired because you just keep going and going and going. Galatians 6:9. Okay, and I'll read this one to you. So let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. All right? So let's pray. Father, I thank you that you give us vision, you give us purpose, you give us goals to live in our life. No matter how old we are, there's something that we're supposed to be doing. We have purpose. If we didn't have purpose, we would be with you. And we're so grateful for that, Father. Help us not to diddle our life away. Because, Father, we do want to stand before you and have you say, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy. Father, help us with that. Father, I pray for myself and for these that are here that we would reevaluate, relook at the things that we're doing and how we're doing them so that we can keep our focus, so we can keep pressing on with you, that we can keep retraining and renewing our minds and be alive. Because, Father, we know that when we're doing what we're supposed to be doing, we're so fulfilled. And we're so happy and we're so joyful. And that brings glory to you and it helps other people. So, Father, again, I thank you for the focus that you give us, the vision that you give us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.